Hello and welcome to Intertextual Experience, where the stadium is rocking for the return of our once young Sweet 16th guest and now 41st guest, Ruel Gaviola. How are you doing today, Ruel?
Good. Wow. From 16 to 41. Very impressive.
I know that was like a hop. So, I don't know. My notes for this are all scattered and my thoughts are all scattered. But one cool thing, too, was I double checked when we did talk last, and it was of March of 2024. So,
Oh, wow.
it really wasn't even that long ago.
You know, it's funny. It seemed, I swear well, you know what it is? Because we ran into each other at Gen Con. That's why it feels like I just talked to you on the podcast. But you're right. The podcast was actually over a year ago. Oh my gosh.
If I like snuck in, well, here, let's do some, like 20 something episodes between Gen Con and now, I'd be a superhuman. and I am definitely not. But another thing that I thought was funny too, like kind of going back to that time when we talked last, was one of the things that you were just starting when we talked was that Good Morning Society, your morning show through the Good Time Society. And
Yes.
that's on episode like 70 something now.
At the time of this recording, Wednesday, we just completed episode 75. Beck and I are super excited about that. We have some bigger and better plans for the show, but I'm hoping either end of this year or in the new year we'll, get to these bigger plans. But it's a where we've sort of like, just stayed the course, talked about games, did our beverages, did the shenanigans, and hopefully real soon we've got some things happening that I'm really excited about. But it's cool though. The Good Time Society, the studio is really blowing up. They've got a lot of projects there, a lot of things coming in, so it's great. I'm super thrilled to be part of one bit of the Good Time Society.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And like, yeah, just kind of, I thought it was absolutely crazy because, yeah, since we started our communication, this was kind of almost a lightning strike communication that we were able to set up. And it's due to the reason of this episode, which I'll get to in a second. But yeah, I looked at all these things because we started off talking that last episode about everything you were doing. And then at the end, you mentioned that that show was coming up and the fact that now it is, like you said, as of Wednesday, the 75th. I was like, wow, that is
Yeah,
absolutely wild.
it really is. And I've been very fortunate to work with such great people. Everyone there at Good Time Society, they're just all amazingly talented and hardworking. And I'm very, very honored to be a small part of it over there.
Yeah, that is fantastic. But yeah, I kind of, well, I guess the introduction and I just slightly alluded to it, but and you mentioned as well, we saw each other at Gen Con. I'm pretty sure you're wearing something Dodgers related, maybe your
It's always my hat. Yeah.
hat.
So I had this thing like whenever convention I go to, I'll pick like one particular Dodger hat. And it turns out to be it's almost like the same one every year, every convention. So I made it a point this year. So the Dodgers, they have their standard LA hat. This time I went with the letter D, which is their either batting practice or their spring training hat. So I went with that this year. And yeah, that's the hat I went this year. Next year, who knows what I'm gonna do, but I'm sure it'll be Dodger related.
It could potentially be another World Series hat or something like
Oh,
that
fingers crossed, fingers crossed. I do have one special edition hat what I don't think I've worn at the convention yet, but it's the LA Dodgers logo, the LA, but it's in gold representing the
too.
championship for 2024. So fingers crossed we have one for 2025. But again, at the time of this recording, the Dodgers are 6 wins away from their second World Series in a row.
That they are. So I knew you're big into baseball, and my relationship with baseball is interesting. I definitely grew up on a ton of baseball. I still like love and appreciate the sport, but my viewership for my home team has kind of waned. But unfortunately, almost at like one of the worst times because they're having their best season in quite some time for the Milwaukee Brewers. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd say each year I usually get out to a game, like at the very least. Like that's not bad, right?
Yeah. No, that's great. If you can go to one game a year, which I did for many years, I mean, that's a good thing. Just any day at the ballpark, for me at least, is a good day, right? I mean, it literally is like going to the park for an afternoon and like, oh, by the way, there's a baseball game going on. And, Michelle and I, my wife and I, we've always enjoyed going ever since we started dating. And just over the years, it got, as the Dodgers continue success, you get a little more wrapped up in it and you get a little more, okay, yeah, let's go to a few more games this year. And yeah, this year was definitely the year that we've gone to the most games together, and it just happened to coincide with a great year for the hometown Dodgers.
Yeah, and seemingly getting healthier and healthier as the season and postseason continues, which has contributed to some of that success as well. How many games did you make it out to this year?
I think we did 22 games this year. Yeah, which is by far the most I've ever gotten to in a year. It's not cheap. And basically, at the end of last season, when the Dodgers won the World Series, Michelle and I immediately started talking about, what we've never done is buy season tickets for the Dodgers. So I looked into it, and it's not cheap. So there's three different options. You could do a full season, a half season, or a quarter season. So we did the quarter season for 20 games. And then on top of that, we bought a couple of games aside from that to go to special nights. And Ryan, it's been amazing. It's been wonderful. It was a great experience. The thing that I really enjoyed the most, really was, as a regular attendee, you start to get to know the people that have the same seats around you. So we have like a couple of families in front of us and behind us that we got to know, and it's just nice to see, oh, hello, so and so, and here we are again at the ballpark, and it's just really nice to connect with other Dodger fans that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely haven't had season tickets to anything, or nor have been back to, well, now American Family Field.
Oh, when was the last time were you? I forgot the name of it before American Family.
No,
Was it
it was Miller Park for like the
Miller
longest
Park?
time,
That's
which,
right. Yeah.
and then, yeah, so, well, I haven't been to AmFam a ton. Definitely was at Miller Park. It's the same exact building, a
Yeah.
whole bunch more, but nonetheless, haven't had those relationships. But I guess a funny story is one of my wife and I's friends took us to our first Packer game, regular season Packer game, and
Oh, whoa.
that was last year. And they have one of the plans. I think there's like a gold and green plan or something like that for the season tickets for Lambeau,
Yeah.
and just being there and like seeing them interact with the people that they normally sit by, kind of not
Nice.
the same. It's just funny,
Yeah. So
but
how is that experience? I mean, Lambeau Field, that is like one of the, I don't know, the old school stadiums out there. Like that had to be amazing.
yeah, I mean, in terms of like all of my sports, I definitely, I mean, I consume as much like hometown football, basketball, and baseball as I can. Like those are kind of like, in terms of like having the energy to follow, like I'll watch other things, especially if it's like a good game, right? But lifelong Packer fan, and only missing games on rare occasion. Like I watch everything for them, so it was really like pretty awesome to be there. And it was a rough start, but they're playing the Vikings, and yeah, they're getting blown out in the first half. And just like where we were, it was a very hot fall day, so we were just getting
Oh
just scorched by the sun and scorched on the scoreboard. So it's just like, oh no. But
Oh
they made it a fight,
no.
and
Okay.
yeah, it was a good game. And yeah, I don't know, the Packers have been kind of scrappy like that the last couple of years. So yeah, but like you
Right.
said, just being at Lambeau, just the amount of people that are in, like I think like a baseball stadium, or definitely even like a basketball arena, typically winds up being a little more fan friendly in terms of like your space. Whereas
Yeah,
like being there are so many people in so tight of a space. It was crazy just like looking around, and I don't know, it was something.
and I guess, well, Lambeau's so old too, right? So it was designed before, modern, ball games and stuff. Because I know that some of the newer stadiums I've been to, it's a little more space. I mean, it's not like totally roomy, but yeah, you do have a little more space, right?
Yeah, I think with Lambo, if I'm not mistaken, throughout the years they've done different types of construction or add-ons and things like that. So it just kind of just to accommodate more and more people. But yeah, it's an old venue. So, but yeah, so our episode is thinking about baseball a little bit, and yeah, we've already just kind of like chatted about sports, and it's your Dodgers who you have a little bit closer connection to than I do currently with my Brewers. But again, I grew up with them. I've always followed them to some degree, right?
That's like my relationship with the Dodgers. Again, just like you, I grew up on the Dodgers. I've followed them all my life, and just like anything in life, you sort of, go in and out. Life happens, things happen, and sometimes you watch all the games, sometimes you don't watch any. Maybe you attend one game 1 year, maybe you attend a few. But within the last like 10, 15 years, I know for a fact that I've always tried to make it at least one game, and it's always been a great experience. Now, luckily, we're also close by to a minor league team, so that makes it a lot easier. I'm really close to the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, and for the last 10 years or so, they've been the single A affiliate for the Dodgers. So it's been really great to see some of the Dodgers, when they're doing their rehab from an injury, they'll come down to the Quakes and play an inning or two. So that's always a thrill, a real big treat. And last year, Michelle and I got to see Clayton Kershaw pitch 2 innings. It's like, oh my gosh, it was amazing. And then this year, earlier this year, we got to see Teoscar Hernandez do his rehab in left field, or right field. But unfortunately, the Quakes, they're ending their relationship with the Dodgers this year because they're building a new stadium in nearby Ontario. So we're going to be start going to Ontario. It's not that far from us either, but just something about the Quakes. They're going to have a new affiliation, probably with the Angels or something, but we'll continue to support the local minor league teams because we love doing it. It's funny because the amount of money, Ryan, that I spend on parking at Dodger Stadium will pay for parking and 2 tickets and snacks at the Quake Stadium. It's ridiculous. But it's great. We love seeing the younger players coming up. I mean, these are, really young players, 18 years and older. And we just love seeing they're chasing their dreams, and how can you not support that? And we've been very fortunate to see some of them coming up. I mean, we saw Will Smith, we saw Corey Seager, playing for the Quakes. Last year, we saw Eduardo Enriquez, who went from single A Rancho Cucamonga last year, all the way to the big team within a year, which is very rare. And he actually pitched like an inning or two in the World Series, or I mean, the Championship Series last year. So seeing like that, like seeing young guys make it like that, it's always a thrill. And, it's that whole thing from Moneyball. Like, how can you not be romantic about baseball? That's where I fall in line these days.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess one of my questions, I got like a million questions. There's so many
Let's
questions.
go. Let's do it.
Oh no. I mean, like, just like to like add on, it's nothing new. It's just like follow-up questions to that is, I think, there's definitely something like about baseball. When I was kind of, I mean, in the time since we started this communication, and I've been, I thought about sports for long periods of my life in different capacities too. And I think, like, if I were a betting person, baseball has the most, like, it's probably the sport with the most movies based on it.
Oh
I can't say definitively, but if I were to like guess, there's a whole bunch.
I think I would venture to say you're right. I would take that bet as well. I think it's this one sport that really lends itself to movie making or even books, right? Because it is a slower sport. There's a lot of time for reflection, and you could build the drama into that. And it's funny, the other day, Michelle and I literally just watched Major League again for the 100th time or whatever. A silly movie, but still pretty funny. And what I forgot about that movie, it's a lot of basis for Ted Lasso. If anyone's ever watched Ted Lasso, they take a lot of the stuff from Major League as sort of their starting point for that series. It's great.
One of the shows, well, here's like another like lead in and like kind of like random anecdote, but one of the shows that my wife and I will rewatch probably once a year at this point, or when the new season would come out, is Ted Lasso.
Nice. Oh,
So
I love that. So, have you seen Major League? Do you remember Major League or Charlie Sheen?
yes, I
And
have definitely seen that movie at least a couple times, but I don't think I've seen it in at least 16 years.
Okay. Well, real quick, I wanted to share this. So, a spoiler alert for those of you who have not seen this 40-year-old movie. I'm gonna put it out there. But Major League, the whole premise of it is the team owner wants the team to play so badly that they can sell the team to move the team away. And that's basically Ted Lasso, right? She hires Ted Lasso because he's not a soccer coach or football coach, and she hopes to do the same thing. But that's the launching point. And I remember watching Ted Lasso. I was like, this is Major League. This is awesome. You know, and then there's other things that they do too, but I always love that connection to that movie because that movie always cracks me up.
Yeah, that movie, from what I remember, is off the walls at certain times.
Oh yeah, definitely off the walls. And some of it, you know, I guess, I mean, I don't know if I would say all of it aged well. I mean, there are some things like, I don't know if this is acceptable these days, but for the time period, it's a time capsule, right? It's a look at the period of time of baseball back then.
Yeah, the more I'll randomly see, or the two of us will see a movie from like the 90s or something like that, where it's like I'm making a face,
Yeah.
but
Ooh, a little cringe now, right?
it's not exclusive to Major League.
Yep.
That's funny. No, I'll put that on our radar, because I mean, I definitely have seen that movie, so I want to see it within that context, within like the Ted Lasso lens.
I think definitely check that out. You'll see a few things. I mean, mainly the main premise, but there's a couple of other things that they do. It's like, oh, okay, they were not that they totally stole the idea, but they definitely were influenced by a few things in that movie.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I don't know if you've looked into this or not. Have you checked to see if there has been any like sighting of like a direct inspiration, or just kind of based on what you're seeing?
Oh, that's, you know, that's, now that you say that, maybe I should look into it. I know that was just me, my memory.
Yeah.
Like I know some of those old movies and that reminded me of, but now there's also, I mean, there's a few things in Ted Lasso that I recognize from pop culture or whatever, like I'm sure you do as well. But not, I haven't actually found a list or looked for one where it's like specific references throughout Ted
Okay.
Lasso, but I think it'd be neat to check out.
Yeah, no, I'll got my little script here, so I will just say, yeah, check out Ted Lasso a little more and Major League. Well, on that kind of question and thought then too, what is your favorite baseball movie?
Oh, that's a great question. Great question. I mean, the older I get, the more sentimental I get, and I don't think you can get more sentimental than like Field of Dreams, right? I mean, again, spoiler alert for this 50-year-old or 40-year-old movie, the end of it, you know, I'm a sucker. Every time I watch it, Ryan, it's like, yep, there's the tears, you know. Like, yeah. That one I also like, oh gosh, what was the other one? Bull Durham with I don't know what it is. Kevin Costner in his baseball movies. He's done like three of them, right? He's did Field of Dreams, Bull Durham. What's the third one where he's pitching a perfect game or a no-hitter? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I've seen
Yeah.
that was like, is that like a Disney-ish one, if I'm not
I
mistaken?
yeah, yeah. And that's like probably the most recent one. It's not like Field of Dreams, Bull Durham,
Oh,
and then I
Maybe
don't know.
not. It
Perfect
could
game or something like that. I don't
it could
know.
be maybe I'm thinking of a different movie, but is it for Love of the Game?
For Love of the Game, that's
Okay.
it exactly. Yep.
I was thinking of a different movie then.
Oh,
Like,
okay.
there's so many baseball movies.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Okay, if you're talking Disney, maybe it's The Rookie, the one with Dennis Quaid. That one. Another, yeah, I'm a sucker for all of them. I love them all. Again, another classic from I think the 90s was A League of Their Own with Gina Davis and Madonna and Tom Hanks as the gruff coach or manager. Yeah, I really enjoy them all. You know, I'll have like, you know, you're working or whatever, you're just hanging out at home. Sometimes you just throw something on the background. A lot of times there'll be baseball movies like that. It's either like, you know, Major League or League of Their Own or like for me, Terminator. That's one of my go-to. Like, just going to throw them back. I've seen it a million times. I know what's going to happen.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Has nothing to do with baseball, but it's
Hey.
just one of those movies I throw in the background, you know, when I'm doing stuff.
It works. That is funny. Oh, okay. Speaking of a direct link to things, I'm just like working my way around in the most random order, unlike baseball, which is a very structured sport. I think that's kind of like what you said.
Yeah.
One of the things that like helps with like the movies, kind of the feel and the speed and the flow of it. But me, I'm eclectic. I'm all over the place. But
Yep.
when we talked last, one of the things that you were thinking about or dreaming about was your baseball and board games podcast. Nine
Yes.
episodes for the nine innings.
Yes. Yes. And it's funny at Gen Con, and probably, you know what, right after I saw you, I think, now I think about it, at Gen Con, I'd run into a few people, and I started sort of like talking about the exact same thing we talked about. So I figure that if I talk about it enough, it'll just have to become reality. It's just, I wish I had the time to do it, but I do have ideas still. I still want to do a 9-episode season. I've got a few guests I want to do, and there's things I want to dive into, different topics. In baseball, but not your typical, okay, let's break down the season or let's look at the team. No, we're talking like one of my things I love to do is score games. So I would do an episode about how to, you know, the history of scoring games, you know, how to start with, you know, started with Henry Chadwick back in 18 whatever it was, and you know, he's the one that came up with the first like system of scoring, and I still do it to this day. I had stopped for a few years, and then when we got our season tickets this year, I said, hey, we're at the game all the time. Why don't I start scoring? So I bought like a little scorebook and started scoring games, and it's just, I don't know. I think it's fun. It's good, nerdy fun, you know?
If I'm not mistaken, I mean, I definitely did that when I was younger. I remember going with my family, and I feel
Nice.
like they gave you resources to do
Yeah,
that.
I remember like probably my first Dodger game I went to with my dad and my brothers. Like my dad, I remember him distinctly buying me a program, right? And the program had a scorecard in the middle, and then you could pay like an extra dollar to get a pencil from the vendor. And in that score, man, I wish I still had that. But I remember there was like instructions on how to do it. Like here's the positions 1 through 9, and then here's how to record a fly out or a strikeout and stuff like that. But nowadays, I don't see that anymore, at least at Dodger Stadium. From what I know, they don't, I mean, they'll have like the standard program that you get when you go through the gate, but there's no scorecard in it. But then I asked like one of the customer service people, and I asked, do you guys have scorecards? They're like, oh yeah, we have one. And I was all excited until I actually got it. And it was literally just a Xerox copy, like a copy of a scorecard. I'm like, oh, I was hoping like for a Dodger brand one or whatever, but yeah. And I still see some people scoring games, which is fun. And you know, I always, when I see someone, I sort of give them that head nod, like, yeah, we're being nerdy together, you know, yay scoring nerds.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like wonder with kind of the increased access to technology and being able to like look up everything at all times,
Yeah.
if it's just one thing that's easy to be like, yep, we don't need to do that
Yeah.
anymore,
Yeah.
or just like to provide
Right.
or what have you.
Yeah. It's the technology definitely, I think, has cut down maybe it, I mean, it's like a lost, I guess a lost art, but still there's, to this day, every game has an official scorer, right? They're still paying them to do the job. So I don't know. It's a nice little throwback, and you know, you and I are both analog gamers, and I figured this is like an analog thing to do, right? Keeping score by hand. I enjoy it. It's fun.
Kind of on the line of like doing things at games, I follow you on social media, and I've seen you posting some like times where you're at the game, and also sometimes playing games at
Yeah.
the
So I told Michelle I was going to do the podcast today, and she's like, you got to talk about hits and outs. I was like, of course, yeah. So that's the game, hits and outs. It's a small box game that I came across recently. The designer actually reached out to me and said, hey, I know you're a baseball fan. I just created this game. I was like, cool. And we got it, and it's a simple One-on-one game of one player as a pitcher and one player as a batter, and you're just trying to guess where the baseball is on the diamond. It's great. It's super simple. And Michelle and I, before one of our games, we always get to the game early now, and we'll have time. We'll like bring food. That's one great thing about Dodger Stadium. They let you bring your own food.
Oh,
So we,
wow.
yeah. So again, I there are some good items to get at Dodger Stadium that are tasty and delicious, but price-wise, I've already spent enough money on the tickets. I want to save some money somewhere else. So,
And the parking.
and the parking, exactly. So Michelle and I will get food from a local, restaurant, and there's a ton of them around the stadium, and we'll bring it in. So when we get there early enough, we'll hang out. We have our spot in the center field, like section, where we'll just go grab one of the tables there and eat. And hits and outs, I brought it with me, and we just play it. After we eat, we just watch the players take batting practice or practice in the outfield, and we're just playing a game. And it is like the perfect game to play. It's really easy to. It's super portable and really easy to set up. You just need like a little table, a little room, and what better thing to do than play a baseball game at a baseball game?
Yeah, and I mean, I saw you post that, and I know I looked up the game then. I'm trying to, I think I do remember somebody else posting pictures of it and playing it. I don't know. It could have been something like Discord. It might not have been like something super formal. But yeah, I've definitely seen it around, and it is an Itton game, and Itton does some really cool physical based products and their dexterity games and stuff like that too. So,
And they are a Japanese-based company, and they do some really cool things. And I just wish it was easier to get their games. Again, I was very fortunate that the designer actually sent me a copy. But as long as you can find a way to import them, I would like recommend talking to some friends and getting like a bigger order so it's easier to ship or a little more cost effective to ship. But yeah, if there's a way you can get it, I would highly recommend it. Hits and Outs is fantastic.
yeah, I'll. I mean, we were talking before we started recording for a minute, and in our last episode, which I mentioned you're returning to the show. If anybody's listening to this and has not listened to that episode, that one was more about words and kind of games based on books or having some type of literary tie-in. So definitely check that one out. But that one got me and my wallet in some trouble. So
Ryan, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, not sorry.
but no, it's all good because yeah, all the things that you recommended, I got and enjoyed and got to play. So that's always a fun thing
Awesome.
to do too. But yeah, I'll
Love
look
that.
into this. One of my biggest regrets, like I don't if I hold off on getting a crowdfunding project, I typically am kind of like, yeah, like no big deal. I have plenty of games to play, no worries.
Right.
But one of the ones that I was kind of on the fence about was Itton's Crash Octopus. And I didn't buy it. And then even after that, I still had, I on eBay, it wasn't like super bad like immediately after like release, and now I think it's just getting like pricier
Yeah, and that's such a
and
fun game too. I
pricier.
love Crash Octopus.
Yeah, so I did get to play it, and I was like, oh, maybe this should have been one that I got. So
Right.
one of the few regrets. But okay, so I've got like basically a few more thoughts that are baseball-ish or sport-ish as well, and I think the title of this episode is going to be something linked to seventh inning stretch. So
Nice.
just thinking about that, and I'm not going to try to make this a thing, but I was thinking about the idea of like a seventh inning stretch type of game, and when it comes to games, like sometimes you'll have like an opening, like a beginning game for the night or an end of night game, and oftentimes they're going to be similar, like shorter things, or you might have like a main game for the night or whatever that might be. And I thought like in terms of the scope of a night having or a night that's dedicated to gaming, that this idea of like a seventh inning stretch game doesn't make a ton of sense. So I started putting this in the context of like maybe a night that's not necessarily a game night, or a night that's like a dinner, but has like a game before that wrap up. And that's kind of what I'm thinking as like the seventh inning stretch game. Does
And
that make any sense?
it does, but I'm gonna let's back up. I feel like that we can work in the idea of a seventh inning stretch because, like you said, so you have your game night, and there's a certain flow to a game night, right? You have your starter game, then you have like say a main game, but just like in baseball, after seven innings, everyone stops what they're doing, stands up and sings a song, right? And that's one of the like quirk. The more the games I go to, the more quirks I love about baseball, and that's one of them. Like, what other professional sport do you just stop and sing a song? There's nothing like that, and it's like everyone's like happy, and like you can be a fan of the opposing team. It doesn't matter. You're singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." It's great. But to relate it in terms to a game night, maybe there is a game where, okay, we stop what we're, not really stop, but we end with our big heavy game, say, or longer game. Then we do something, a quick game where maybe it is sort of more physical, or you stand up and, you take a 10-minute game, 15-minute game, where it's not as like brain crunchy or whatever. And, one of the games that comes to mind for me is something like Hot Streak, which is a newish game by CMYK, where you're just betting on players, and actually it's sort of sports related. They're sports mascots, right? So yeah, you're betting on sports mascots. It's a really simple racing game, but every time I played it, I loved it. And it is definitely one that you play, it's maybe 15, 20 minutes, and it's light and it's quick and it's fun, and it can be loud if people are like super into it. But I think it's a nice way to, after you play some heavier games, or you just played a bunch of games, why not take time to do a light game like Hot Streak, right?
You know what? I was reconceptualizing the idea of the seventh inning stretch type of game, but like you have the perfect one. I mean, in terms of not just kind of like the stretching out the joints a little bit, but the fact that it is mascot racing. Do the Dodgers have a mascot race?
One of the no, this is one bummer about the Dodgers. So they'll have a thing on the scoreboard. It's a video, and it's called the truck races, or the food truck race. So it's like they have a red, a white, and a blue truck on the video. It's like animated, and they show, it's fun because they show it racing throughout downtown LA, and they always have some members from the audience or from the crowd. They pick three at random and say, okay, who wants the red, white, and blue truck? They race, it's like a minute race, and then whoever wins, they win a prize. So it's not as cool as like a mascot race per se, which the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, they do have stuff like that, right? That's why I love minor league baseball, because they always have those wacky promotions and stuff. But yeah, Hot Streak, it is a game about sports mascots. I didn't, I just put, until we started talking about it, I was like, oh, this is sort of perfect.
No, it is. I think that works like super well. And I like the idea of like kind of like moving around and maybe like a mini dexterity game, maybe something like Drapulter to get the blood flowing again.
Yep.
So
No, you're right. You are actually drop over any kind of dexterity game like that, or how about a couple of games of Crokinole or something. But with Hot Streak, it just because of the nature of the game, it's a racing game, it's a betting game, so people tend to get excited, and the blood keeps starts flowing again, which is great. And the games that I play, any type of betting game, I don't know what it is, the people I play with, we always end up eventually standing up and like cheering for our racer or whatever. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good seventh inning stretch game.
And I just kind of re well, I played it the once, but I was able to kind of like relearn it so I could teach it to a group, and we had some company over, and yeah, it went over super well. As soon as they start getting
Nice.
knocked over and crawling or just completely turned around,
Yeah, going the wrong way.
it
That's always funny.
was like a two turn, one turn around, another one just hop right off the back, and it's like, oh well, they're gone.
Love that.
But I was just because I asked about the Dodgers, I didn't really even know a ton of the history of the Brewers racing sausages, but that's always fun.
I love seeing
Or
that. Yeah. They've been doing that forever, right?
yeah, so I just clicked because I wasn't positive, and it said early 1990s with just three
Nice.
sausages. And then it says since then, two have joined, the hot dog in the mid 1990s, and then chorizo mid 2000s. So if
Wait, so
I.
there's five of them? I guess I haven't seen in a while. I always thought it was three, but yeah, there's five. And they're all different sausages, right? It's like one's a hot dog, one's a brat. What is the other, like a sausage or
So,
whatever? And
brat, Polish, Italian, hot dog, and chorizo.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's great. Oh my gosh. That just because of that, it's gonna catapult AmFam to like one of my top five bucket list stadiums I need to go to just because of that.
And I mean, I more of just like a hanging out kind of like relaxing culture. Like, I mean, Wisconsin is known for better or for worse for a few things, drinking being one of them. I'm not really like much of a drinker, but
Yep.
beside the point, all right. But that said, you can still, no matter what, enjoy the tailgating. And I don't know what like I mean, just driving through a lot of cities or being in different places and kind of seeing the setups, like AmFam or Miller, you know, that is pretty decently outside of the city. So it's a huge area of land. So like the in terms of parking, like it is very big, very spread out. And if you go there, you're gonna have, you know, cars upon cars upon cars just hanging out for hours before the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool to hear because Dodger Stadium is like complete opposite. So there's a ton of cars, big old parking lot, but there's no tailgating. They just don't allow it. And which is it's a bummer because I have always enjoyed tailgating. But at the same time, I don't really drink anymore, so I would have no. I mean, the tailgate, I love the barbecue aspect of it. I'm a longtime Oakland slash LA slash Las Vegas Raider fan, and I used to go to the games way back in the day at the LA Coliseum, and then up in Oakland, I would fly out every now and then to go there, and those tailgates were some of the funnest times ever. Shout out to all the crews I used to hang out with out there. It would be, get there, 6 hours before the game. There's barbecues going on. The one crew I was hanging out with in Oakland, they had a full-on like living room setup. So they had couches, big screens, in addition to the barbecues. And right across the way from us in the parking lot was a live DJ. And sometimes they'd bring in a live band. I mean, it's just insane how people go all out for tailgates. And I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would say, well, at least for baseball and football, like, yeah, Brewers and Packers, a lot of tailgating, a lot of space to do
Yeah.
it as well. So,
Nice. Nice.
so yeah, if you make it out, you'll get some hopefully good barbecue tailgating, some sausage races, and then for the seventh inning stretch, you would get instead of take me out to the ball game, it's roll out the barrel.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah,
Roll out.
it's
What
a
is roll
different.
out the. This is new to me.
I
This is
don't
like
know.
news. What
It's
is that?
a different song. They don't do, unless they do both, which sometimes I think they do. I could it's like I said, I haven't gone this year, so my recollection, but there's a different song.
Whoa.
I'll send it to you. They sing
Yeah, please do.
roll out the barrel.
Wow, roll out the barrel. I'm assuming it's like a drinking song or has to do with beer, right?
I mean, like, that's basically it. I think they I'm not For the sake of anybody listening, I'm not going to try to sing it, but I can, you know, feel it in my head, and I could sing
Nice.
it if I wanted to.
All right. Well, I'm gonna definitely check that out when you send me the link.
I'll definitely following this up. I'll send that over to you.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, okay. So we've talked about games in this seventh inning stretch, kind of capacity-ish to fill this new thing. Maybe now we'll make it a thing, the seventh inning stretch game. So not a main course. We got the seventh
Yeah,
inning stretch game.
I love it.
But you mentioned hits and outs, and if I'm not mistaken, you also like, oh, here I had it up, the baseball highlights.
Yes, my all-time favorite sports game, my all-time favorite baseball board game, Baseball Highlights 2045. It's a masterpiece. It is the best for my money. And again, I don't have too much experience with sports-based board games because I don't think there are that many out there. But this one, it's a wonderful distillation. Is that a word? It distills the game down to six cards. So it's basically like if you had the highlights of a baseball game, and it's just a wonderful like deck building hand management game where, and I always play it two players. I just always like it because I think it works well. It's like I'm a manager, you're a manager, we're playing against each other, our two teams, and then you play a card and it has text, two different text boxes. The first is like what you are threatening to do. So for instance, if I play a card, this one might threaten a single or a double or whatever. But then there's a second text box where if it's filled in with something, it may be an immediate action. So it could be an automatic home run or whatever. But your opponent has will play a card at the same time. Oh, well, not at the same time. They'll play next where they can cancel stuff out or they can do things as well. It's a really cool back and forth system. And you play best 4 out of 7, just like in the World Series. And between each mini game, what I just explained, six cards represents one ball game, a baseball game. And between each game, you're going to draft free agents. So you all start with the same like starter, you know, they're the minor leaguers, right? And then as you add to free agents, you're going to send those players, or not, they're not minor leaguers, but they're just, you know, rookies and veterans. As you bring in free agents, you're going to send the other ones either to the minors or off, basically discarding those cards out of your deck. And so as the game progresses, your deck gets stronger and stronger. And there are different types of players. There are, again, it's set in the future, the near future. So there are humans, they're called naturals. There are cyborgs, which are part machine, and there are full-on robots. And each one has different strengths. I think the robots are, I think they're the best pitchers or whatever, or maybe the best hitters. The cyborgs are the best pitchers, and then the humans are the best defensive players. So you can build your deck according to what type of players you get, or you can sort of try to get a bunch of, you know, all types of different players. Oh, Ryan, I played so many games of this. I love it. And I think the test a testament to how great this game is, my main buddy Daryl, besides my wife Michelle, my main buddy Daryl, he loves playing this game. He will play it anytime with me that I ask, and he does not like baseball. He is not a baseball fan, doesn't follow it, doesn't care about it, but he will play this game anytime because he really appreciates the deck building aspect to it. Me, as a baseball geek, I love everything. The theme is on point, you know, and what's funny, and any baseball fan will appreciate this. So, of course, it's not a licensed game, so they couldn't use the names of like real players. So what they did, they just mashed them up. So it's like they'll take, like, say, Derek Jeter. And or it was like the when it came out, it was like Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. And instead of having players named like that, they would mash them up. So it'd be like, you know, Barry Sosa, you know, or Sammy Bonds. It's hilarious, you know, but you know exactly who it is. It's like, oh yeah, Barry Sosa hits a lot of home runs. I guess who that is, you know. But it's got a wonderful sense of humor like that. There's a bunch of expansions that, you know, add a bunch of different things. I still like the base game. Some of the expansions, I think they go a little overboard a bit, but they don't change the game too much. It's just a bunch of other things that you need to look out for. But man, oh man, it's awesome. And it's also, if there's solo gamers listening to this, it's one of the best solo games as well. Really, yeah, super easy to manage. You know, it can be tough at first because the robot player or your AI player you're playing against starts with a really tough deck. So it's usually like you need a couple of rounds. You're going to lose a couple of games, but you're going to have to draft between those games. You draft well enough that you can overtake them. And, you know, I've had so many games of that go down to like 3-3, one last game. Who's going to take it all? And, you know, either I win or the robot wins. Oh, I love Baseball Highlights 24/5. It's by Mike Fitzgerald. I think it's his masterpiece. He's done other games like Mystery Rummy, and I forget some of the other things he does, but Baseball Highlights 24/5, one of my all-time favorite games.
Awesome. And yeah, just listening to you talk about that. And I think one of my fears was whenever I look at, baseball highlights, or people posting content for it, or seling it, or whatever it might be, and I always just see the boatload of expansions, and I'm not gonna touch that.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I find so unfortunate because it does look overwhelming. And that's when I first got into it, I was like, oh man, do I need all these expansions? But I played the base game a ton. I'm like, this is great. Like, yeah, I want new players, whatever, but it still works well, just base game. And honestly, there's times when with the expansions, it almost makes the game too easy there, because there's certain cards like, oh, this is totally going to make it easy, but like, so I'll just leave those out of my game, especially when you play solo. The expansion cards make it way easier, so I just leave those out and play base game solo, and oh, I love it.
Oh, that's good. No, I'll definitely look into that a little bit more now because, like I said, I've heard, so many. I think people who love that game love that game, and I don't think there's that many people who don't love it. I think maybe people who just are, like you said, aren't necessarily into baseball are going to stay away from it in the first place or something like that. So that could be a thing for sure. They're just not being interested in the setting, but yeah, like I don't think I've really heard people be like, yeah, that's just not a game for me. But for me, whenever I have seen, like I said, it just looks like a ton of content. I'm like, oh. So I'll look into it again.
I'm sorry I'm gonna hurt your wallet again this episode, but I think it's well worth looking. They just came out with a new edition that they crowdfunded. I forgot what it is, the ballpark edition or whatever. And I believe it contains everything that's been released so far. So that's one way to get it. But honestly, if you could find like a used copy of just the base game, start there. And I mean, have fun with it, because it's so good. It is such a great game.
Well, there's a very high chance. If we're thinking about sports and how much sports has evolved into sports betting, if people were betting on this episode, they know where to put their money.
Exactly.
Well, fortunate and unfortunate, much like a seventh inning stretch, we're kind of almost to the end of our time. And well, it's unfortunate because, well, I've had a great time talking so far, and there's other things that I would want to talk about. But I guess the fortunate thing is, as a repeat guest, maybe I can entice you to come back in the future. Maybe we can talk about a different sport. I don't know. This has been great. Like I can take some of the ideas and recycle them for a different sport for the questions that we like didn't get to. We'll see. We'll see.
Absolutely. Ryan, I'm always down. I always have a great time with you. I appreciate you reaching out, and I'm always down to talk about board games, but I'm also always down to talk about baseball. Maybe we try another sport next time, or we continue the baseball conversation. I'm fine with
We
that.
could.
Yeah, maybe we could.
Yeah.
I'll leave it up to you, my friend.
Perfect. No, there's so many options. Like I said, I always when I think about like the questions or line the questions, I come up with like a million different things and try to connect them as much as I can, but yeah, so I will leave you with like I kind of will always wrap up two questions so we can kind of rapid fire them a little bit. But my penultimate question is just a text on your mind, something that you've watched or read or has come across your media consumption in some way. And then also the final question then too is kind of going back to the beginning, whereas last episode we talked a lot about all the different things that you're doing, and this time we mentioned Good Morning Society, and you talked about the fact that that's going to get a little bit of a tweak going into next year, but just having the ability for you to shout out some of the things for people to check out from you, including your channel and everywhere else that you pop up as well. So those are.
Sorry, I was just thinking of something, and I'm looking it up right now. As far as a text that's come across my way, that was I recently enjoyed, and I'm looking it up right now because I forget the actual author's name, but this book, Ryan, was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. I'm trying to remember where I got the recommendation from. I don't know if it was a podcast or I'd seen it on social media, but the book is James, just like the name James, by Percival Everett.
Oh, I've heard of this book.
Dude, it's amazing. I bought it from a local bookseller and read it in 48 hours, which I never do. It is a reimagining of Huckleberry Finn, told from the point of view of this, James or Jim, the slave character, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's told the point of view, just everything about it works. I bought it, I read in 48 hours. I gave it to Michelle. She immediately read it, and she passed it on to our daughter Lauren. I think I might have bought it for someone for a birthday present recently as well. It's Yeah, that one of the best books I've read in a while. So that is James from Percival Everett.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I was teaching English, and I'm still teaching, just not English, different educational position. And that came across my radar as I was looking up kind of the idea of, classic literature and then the retellings. And I saw that and I was like, wow, that sounds fantastic. So
It lived up to the hype and then some. I really, really enjoyed it, and I give it my highest recommendation.
oh, that's fantastic. Well, I always have a never ending and always growing backlog, but I'll see if I can catapult that up because yeah, it was on my radar for sure.
Nice.
So
Yeah, I didn't it, it won did it win the Pulitzer Prize or one of yeah it was the 2025 Pulitzer Prize for fiction. So yeah, highly recommend it. It's so good.
perfect. Well, yeah, okay. That I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
And speaking of things to be excited about, yeah, just kind of things that you want people to look out for from you, just shows to check you out on, or things that you're doing with channel. 'Cause, like, if you look at the work that you're doing, you're always trying different things all the time. So.
I'm actually I've this year I've tried to sort of narrow stuff down a little bit, just so I'm still super busy, but at the same time I don't feel like I'm like overwhelmed. And we talked a little bit before we went on air here about being overwhelmed at conventions and stuff. So one of the things I want to do was just narrow down what I'm doing. So every Monday on my channel, Tabletop Tonight, but it's under Ruel Gaviola at either YouTube or Twitch, I do a morning show every Monday from 10 a.m. Pacific until about 12 or so, where I just play games or I talk about the games I've played recently, super casual. And then every Wednesday, again, with at Good Time Society with Becca Scott, 10 a.m. Pacific, we do Good Morning Society, where we talk about board games, we drink our morning beverages, get into shenanigans. Becca's great. You gotta, watch that show just for her. She's so funny and so amazing. Then Tuesdays, the occasional Tuesday, I'll do the R&R show on the Rotto Runs Through channel. Richard Rotto Ham, myself, Chris George, and Ray Billings, we get together and do a different top 10 or top 12 list. Like we just did our top 12 Essen games coming up next week. And by the time this episode airs, it'll probably be on Backlog or the VOD. We're doing our top 12 trick-taking games. So that's always different. I've been working for the last year with Critical Hit Games. It's a local game store in Corona, California, Southern California, where I go to their store and we live stream a game from the back of this store. They're setting up, we've been building a small studio back there and we do live streams there. And actually, we sell games as we play them as well. So that is Critical Hit Games Corona. Those are the main things I'm doing these days. If y'all want to follow me, just find me on the interwebs at Ruel Gaviola.
Yeah, I'll definitely post your channel. I'll post your social media as well. But I always enjoy watching everything you're a part of whenever like I'm like looking and if I see a game that I'm like looking at and I see you attached to it, or if I just wanted to hang out with you when we're not hanging out, it's nice to put on.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, it's always nice to see you in chat, and it's really fun that the live stream thing. I've been doing it for about 5 years now, and it's really neat to have those connections of folks over the years. And again, playing games together, even when we're not together physically, we can sort of hang out, virtually. And I've always tried to do that on my show, at least, keep it a vibe where it's like super chill and be like, if you're hanging out with me in person, this would be like hanging out in person, but we're doing it virtually, super cash, and we're just playing the games.
Yeah, that is perfect. Well, thank you so much again for joining. You mentioned way earlier that your Dodgers are 6 wins away, which means that at this point of time in the recording, they're up 2-0 in the
That's
series.
right.
And
Yes.
by the time this drops, the series will be decided. So maybe I will incorporate that into the little episode image thing that I make. So.
Yeah. I've got my fingers crossed, of course, for my Dodgers. But we shall see. The games will be played, and we'll have something to talk about next time.
Yeah, I'm all for good sports stories and all that. So I just want to watch good games. That's what I'm about.
Agreed. A great way to approach it. I can definitely appreciate that.
Right, well, thank you so much for taking the time. I had a great time.
Likewise, thank you. I'm happy to do this again, and I hope we do.
Oh, we will.
Nice.
Intertextual Experience, the most
262 triple play
podcast about board games and any other text that they connect to. Thank you so much for spending your time here. Your support through listening to this podcast means everything to the show's success. If you enjoyed the project, consider giving us a rating or review and sharing it with any other people in your life you would feel would like it as well. Any further support, such as sending an email to say hey, following some of the show's social media accounts, or contributing any monetary support to help pay for some necessary subscriptions would be greatly appreciated. All of that information can be found in the show notes. Until next time, keep playing, watching, reading, listening, experiencing.